Hello, bud.
Hi, buddy.
Was a great show.
That was so good.
His stories are just, it's amazing. All the experiences he could write journals, I'm sure. I mean, the Lemmy stuff alone, the Maiden thing, just, oh my gosh.
And the fact that he loves being on the show so much, it just still blows my mind. It's never gonna get old, you know?
Right. And when he said about Richard Christie, I'm like, oh my gosh,
I know,
that'd be
like that would be
phenomenal.
fucking amazing. Like Jesus, that would be huge. I mean, in multiple ways. The fact that he was in Death, that he's a huge metal guy, and the fact that he's on Howard Stern. I mean, my God, you
And he
know.
was a nice earth.
Yes, Ice Earth. I mean, we got 40 million people who could potentially listen to that because they like his stuff, you know, him.
Yeah, and Charred Walls of the Dam. He did three albums that I got his stuff in that band.
Yeah.
And it's really good.
Oh yeah, so that would be amazing if he gets a hold of us to be on the show. If Mark says, "Yeah, man, you gotta be on their show. You're gonna love it." The fact that he loves it, you know, like that's just it's not just like, "Oh, thanks, I had a good time." It's like, no, he goes out of his way to let me know how much he loves the show and how he looks forward to being on, and he's always grateful when we ask him to be on. It's like that's just amazing. Don't spoil it. I want to know. No,
Okay,
I want to be
it's right. I
teased.
want to keep it a surprise. I want
Thank you. You're the
to
first time that ever happened.
blow my load. Yeah, right.
Hey, Doug, how are you, man?
What's going on, man?
Not too much. It is good to see you.
Montag and chop. Hey,
Doug. Hey, man.
How was your Patreon?
He did pretty well. Yeah, it
Yeah.
was fun. Yeah, we do it 2 times a month on Sundays. We do, they're basically, what do people want more than anything? They want me to hear songs that they like. That,
Yeah.
and especially, like, on YouTube, I do the songs that people like and want me to hear that a lot of other people also like and want me to hear. Or at least that, that's what we think. That's the idea. But on these private Zooms, we hear anything and everything, the most obscure shit. So people, it's like, your favorite foodie coming to town and go, there's this hole in the wall over here that makes the most unbelievable food. Like
Yeah.
nobody knows about it except me.
Right.
It's 2 hours of people from around the world trying to one up each other on how great their love of this. I know this, and some is like, real great stuff, but just there's so much of it that you tend to overlook it.
Sure. Let me ask what you're smoking today. What are you enjoying today?
Me?
Yes.
Well, I have a little bit left over from my Patreon session, just a little indica flower on a Sunday
Nice.
afternoon.
Okay.
Yeah, if I get any more, if I get into a too high powered of a sativa, it makes me anxious a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit of
So
paranoid.
I tend to like the stuff that puts me in the couch because I tend to overwork, So just kind of keeps me chill.
Nice.
All
Cool.
that.
Cool.
I like that. I don't smoke flower, but I got this really fun pipe. It's actually a vape pen with an electronic display on it,
That's so
so I
cool.
can be fancy while I get high. So I have that.
I don't have it with me right now, but I have this thing called the freeze pipe. It's legit.
Is it good? I've seen the commercials on it. Well, that's pretty good. If you're, you know, I just never knew if it was good or not.
They're not a sponsor, and on 420, I'm smoking all out of their pipe. Because it's a lovely experience. It really, really is. It kind of combines the nice stuff that you get from a water pipe, like a bong or something like that. But with the flexibility of a hand pipe, and it cools off your hit and everything. It's just wonderful. So it's,
Nice.
yeah.
All
Shout out to
right.
those guys.
Yeah. I'm happy to shout out to any cannabis suppliers or dispensaries or If you want us to try your stuff online, I'm happy to do that.
Free samples, y'all.
That's right. That's right. I'll send my address later. But we're looking for a lovely to have a sponsor. That'd be awesome.
That
We're
would be
if we
right.
don't do a Patreon, we're going to be forced to do OnlyFans. So,
Ha!
it's got to be one of the other kids.
That's Doug After Dark.
That's right. Yeah. Yes.
Nice.
That's awesome. They'll just be paying Chop Top and me money to keep our clothes on. So
You're
that's
right.
yeah. Here's $5. Just tell just put this put that
Keep
away.
the shirt on, fellas.
That's right. Oh, well, this is gonna be a fun episode, Doug. Are you ready to
Yeah.
rock and roll with us?
You got it.
All right, here we go.
Hey, this is John Tetley from Jagdpanzer, and you are listening to Heavy Metal Horror.
I am Montag, Master of Illusion. What goes up must come down, but not always.
Hey, this is Chop Top, and this one might be underrated. Rock out.
And our special guest?
My name is Dr. R. Douglas Helvering, but you can call me the Daily Doug.
And you are watching and listening to
Heavy
Metal. Oh, that's right, kiddies. Doug Helvering is back. Dr. Helvering, thank you so much for coming back.
Thank you.
This is your third appearance on Heavy Metal Horror.
I feel like an upperclassman.
That's right. That's right. As we were telling Mark Brady last show, once you hit five appearances, you get a jacket. So just like on Saturday Night Live.
Heavy
That's
Metal
right.
Horror Hall of Fame.
You know, Chop, I think, I did get those jerseys made for us. I will do that. Our first,
Ooh.
Our five-time guests get a nice Heavy
With
Metal
their
Horror
name
jersey, like a baseball jersey with their name on the back.
All right.
That's pretty tempting.
That is pretty cool.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Well, kiddies, today our show, show ain't going to get no respect. That's right. We're going to talk about our Rodney Dangerfield bands. These are bands or artists who don't get the respect they should.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm really excited to see what bands you guys came up with.
Sure,
and I'm wondering, Chop, if we're going to cross on anything or not, but
we
we'll
might.
see. But yeah,
we'll see.
So Chop, I'll begin with you, and then Doug, and then I'll go last. So Chop, let's talk about the first band who don't get no respect.
First band that I'm a huge fan of, one of my favorite thrash metal bands of all time, is Overkill. They're one of the hardest working bands in music history. They always bring it live. I have, surprise, all their albums, everything they've done recorded. So that tells you how big a fan I am. I've seen them about four or five times.
Yeah. You and I saw them twice. We saw them a couple times together. Yeah.
They're just, they're consistent. They're creative. They're unique. No singer sounds quite like Bobby the Blitz Ellsworth. He might be an acquired taste for some, but I do believe it's just, there's such a strong catalog of music. And yeah, I'm taking this whole discussion from a different angle that you might see these bands a lot of big festival circuits, yearly and all this stuff, but man, they deserve to have the sales like the Metallicas and some of the bigger artists out there. And so I'm taking it from that kind of perspective. So some people might say, or think they're watching this will be like, what do you mean? Overkill is always playing festivals. And but they're barely surviving these bands nowadays too. And they deserve to be recognized more and get that kind of respect. So Overkill is my first one.
Nice. I will say I had Overkill on my list, Chop, but I knew you were going to have it on there. So I thought, not that we worked this out in advance, kids,
nope.
but I just know Chop.
I don't know them, by the way. They're a
oh,
metal band.
Oh, really? Yes.
Yeah.
They're from,
New Jersey.
New Jersey. They are,
they've been around since, I think, 83.
Yeah. They're like a really good American thrash band, but not in the vein of Megadeth.
Okay.
It's more of a like a groove-oriented kind of thrash, real catchy. So, Chop, what albums would you recommend Doug listening to? Yes.
The one that got me into it was their second album, Taking Over. There's another one in the 90s, more of the groovy. They got more of the groove metal going from the Underground and Below.
Okay.
And then
the
maybe something
one,
like the more recent, like White Double Armory.
Oh, White Double Armory. And their most recent one was... was it? Gosh, I feel embarrassed. I forgot the name of it. I have it.
Oh, Bobby's never going to come on the show now, Chop.
But it's very consistent.
That's
material,
cool.
Doug.
Yeah,
very good band.
Yeah, they have a really interesting and fun sound. And their first live album, the double live album, they recorded in Cleveland, which is good because we're in the Cleveland area. We're
Wrecking Your Neck Live. Yeah.
Yeah. So you can, and they love playing Cleveland. Back when playing metal, when Cleveland had a really, well, they do have a good metal scene. It's just hard to get to and know, but there is a good metal scene in Cleveland, but it's not as big as it used to be. So, all right. Good shop. Okay, Doug, your first band.
Yeah, so, you know, it's a little bit difficult for me because I've been a fan of some bands and musicians in the popular space for my entire adulthood, but there's a lot that I didn't know. I know a lot more now after 5 years of doing the Daily Doug, but one of the bands that I did not know existed until I started doing the Daily Doug was Marillion. And their stuff is so freaking good. It's like the, you know, if people think like Steve Rothery's guitar solos are as good as David Gilmour's guitar solos. If you like Pink Floyd at their epic Prague arena, kind of arena Prague, with really great textures. I don't know why I didn't know about this band. In fact, An Hour Before It's Dark is the one with the rainbow circle on the wall.
Oh, okay.
That's from a couple years ago. Absolutely incredible. I'm losing my voice. Sorry. But they're in the studio right now at Peter Gabriel's studio in England recording new material. And again, a bunch of people know them, especially in the UK, where they're from, but this is a band that should be, in my mind, in the conversation as one of the top 10 bands of all time. They're unbelievable.
I'm just getting into their discography.
Yeah.
And
their older stuff is reminiscent of older prog, and their newer stuff, that they've quite moved forward. So you get concept albums, you get stuff with orchestral backing, you get epic guitar stuff, great strings.
Oh, I love that.
And keyboards that join them occasionally, you know. So
it's like Sabotage, you know.
But
I got to try them out. I mean, I've heard of them around. I'm probably like I'm a newbie like Monte, but everything you said, Doug, is very interesting. Intrigues me.
This album up here, my hand, there it goes. Yeah, that one. Look at the Care Suite on that album. It's really good. They're kind of a politically conscious band without being acerbic, and I was wondering, in the aftermath of COVID and all that, like what are these big artists going to say about the experience, about the human experience, about, and this is part of it. And he was one of the lines, the angels in this world are not in the Hall of Fame. They're not in churches. They're the nurses. They're the hot, all that stuff. And it was just wonderful. Music, Marillion. I love those guys. I've gotten to interview their current lead singer, Steve Hogarth. That was a couple years ago.
Nice.
But I really enjoy their stuff. If you, melodic, great stuff. I'll
That's
stop
great.
Talking.
No, it's fine. I'm excited because I've liked what I've listened to so far, and I didn't. Only knowing some of the hits when they came out, I wasn't sure about the progression of their music. So now I'm really excited to see how they progress as a band.
The old album that a lot of people know is Misplaced Childhood from the 80s. That was with a different lead singer, but a great album, one that I have and enjoy. Yeah.
Excellent.
Otherwise, the same players for like 30 or 40 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's how you build that consistency. You get the chemistry, and if something is working, I think having the same members in a band. It's like having the same members on a team, a football or baseball team. You start to gelling, you know, and playing better. And I think it's hard for a band to keep on rotating members and keep any kind of consistency, you know?
Yeah.
All right. My first band that don't get no respect. One of my favorite all-time bands. That's right. and I was Facebook friends with the singer and felt very, very sad at his passing. Lead guitar shredding by Mike Scacia. This is a band called Rigor Mortis. And yeah, horror thrash. Super fast guitar work by Mike Scacia, who was alive or the touring guitarist for Ministry for a couple tours. So was able to do that kind of industrial kind of stuff. But Rigor Mortis, I found quite by happy accident when I was in college. It was Halloween, and I had won a costume contest. I was dressed up as Gene Simmons, and it was between me or Jason. but then when I spit blood, then that won it for me. So I got a certificate to the local like record store, and I could get either Rigor Mortis's self-titled debut album or Linda Ronstadt singing Spanish love songs. And I'm like, well, let me try the Rigor Mortis. And I just like fell in love with this band because they lean into the horror. They have samples from horror albums or movies on our between their songs, and they have really funny lyrics. Like a song called "Bodily Dismemberment" is like really outrageously funny. And they have an album called "Freaks," which I absolutely love. It's like an EP, like a 6-song EP.
Oh, so good.
Really, really good and complex, like melodies and very fast thrashing. And then versus the Earth again, continues to lean into the humor. Just really fun, entertaining. I don't know how much you would like it, Doug, but you know, as far as like, but I think you might like the speed at that which they can play. And it's not like Slayer speed. It's not like Cannibal Corpse speed. But it's very melodic, and it's mostly because of Mike Scacia, the you know, his speed that he can play. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
Excellent. All right.
Okay, Chop,
I'll
number two.
I'll have to look them up.
Yes, please do.
They're fun. Yeah, my next band is Nevermore. They're a dark progressive metal band. I really was heartbroken when Worrell Dane, the lead singer, passed away some years ago. Honestly, I think from heart failure. And he had some demons and all that, but it was just sad. He had such a unique voice. Nobody can sound like Worrell Dane. It's interesting, though, because two of the members revamped Nevermore just recently. Van Williams and Jeff Loomis, the guitar player, which he's a phenomenal guitar player. They basically got a new singer and everything, and the singer comes very close to sounding like Worrell. I don't know if it was intentional or not, but just replacing Worrell. So he's just a unique presence. And yeah, I loved his other band, Sanctuary, too. But I would say some albums that, I mean, when I just saw the self-titled debut album back in the early 90s. And when I saw it, I just thought, Nevermore. Well, it looks metal. It's unique. I never heard of them. I was like, okay. And as soon as I spun that, I was a fan. And I just got everything. I gobbled up everything they have. So
we saw them, right? Open for King Diamond.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. It was them and Nile.
Yes.
The three of the bands, right.
But albums I'd recommend to start is the classic Dead Heart in a Dead World. Might be my favorite. The Obsidian Conspiracy and Enemies of Reality. Really, really. And the lyrics are almost poetic. Worrell Dane wrote all the lyrics, I believe. And he just had, I don't know, just a poetic and a unique voice. And just that band together was just super. And now they've revamped it. And I've seen some of their live stuff like they did over in, I think, in Turkey or Istanbul. And they haven't missed a beat with some of the other new members and this new singer. It's just now they want to come to the States, but they're having some troubles with the visa stuff with the some of their foreign members. So, yeah.
Yeah, and they don't want to like, get killed if they come here.
Yeah. So, but no, definitely check them out if you haven't. Highly recommend. And cool. They just deserve so much more respect.
Nevermore. Nice.
All right. Okay, Doug, your next band.
I don't know if I've told y'all, I may have told y'all about this band before, but I have their most recent album out right behind me. This one here. Big, Big Train.
Oh.
Woodcut is the name of the album. This is out February of this year. And It's a beautiful concept album, actually.
I love the artwork.
It's awesome.
Me too.
It's their latest. They have like they are like unknown in the United States. But they've been going, they're based out of Britain and they're a progressive rock band. And, you know, sometimes prog can go sci-fi or fantasy. They tend to go telling historical stories and doing songs about historic people. And
The Iron Maiden kind of avenue.
Right.
Yeah.
Think of like the Iron Maiden of prog.
Nice.
And they're an international band.
Big train.
Yeah, they're lead singers from Italy. The bass player and fiddler and trumpeter are from England. Their keyboard player's from Norway. Their lead guitar player is from Sweden, and their drummer is from Indiana.
Wow. I love that.
Yeah.
Love that mix. It's great.
They've written songs about the big steam engines in the UK, especially about the Atlantic cable, the first cable that allowed communications across the Atlantic. They've written songs about Leonardo da Vinci called The Florentine, about Voyager, the space probe. They have a 14-minute epic tune on Voyager.
Oh, wow.
It's freaking cool.
That's great. I love that.
It's rock music for smart people.
Well, the fact that they write about communications and a communications via wire, like that cable, like that is like the nerdiest of the nerdy things to write a metal song about, but it's awesome. And, or a rock song about. Like, that's just fantastic.
They're classic. Think classic prog, like the 12-string guitars of early Genesis.
Yeah.
Some of the rhythms and harmonies of even Yes.
Oh, nice.
And other things.
I'm definitely going to be looking for them. Big
all
Train.
All sorts of stuff. Yeah, big Train.
Big Train. Fantastic.
And actually, if you're going to start with anything, the most recent studio album, Woodcut, is a lovely straight through, and it's really interesting because there's seven people in the band.
Oh.
Each one of them has a songwriting credit and a lead vocal on the album.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
It's a really fun thing. The last thing I'll say is I have just completed one of the main reasons why I love this band is just all that I've told you about them. But for the last couple of years, I've been co-writing a book about them.
Oh, nice.
And the book is coming out this fall. We really geek out. It's a book that it's a compendium of all their songs.
Oh, nice.
Great.
And we've got a chapter from each of the band members, lots of photos and stuff. It's over 100,000 words. It's a huge tome that I've co-written with a lovely chap from Britain. It'll be coming out this fall.
That's awesome. I look forward to reading it.
Unknown in the United States. Yeah, but they tour all across Europe. But not many people know him here in the States yet.
I love that. I love discovering bands that literally no one knows.
Yeah.
You know, like being the first person like, oh, my God, where have I been the rest of my life? You know? Nice. Yeah. Excellent. Well, for me, the next one is following in a similar vein to Rigor Mortis. Not that all my bands are going to be like Rigor Mortis. But this one really is. And it's more of a local local guys. Rigor Mortis is from Texas, and this band's from Virginia, and one of our co-hosts as well and special guests, King Fowley, his band Deceased, and it's horror metal, it's speed, it's thrash, it's very similar to Rigor Mortis, and they talk about horror movies and a lot of this horror imagery and things like that. And they're just a lot of fun, and King's a huge horror fanatic, and has been on to talk Hammer films, and he's just a super fun guy and a really outrageously big personality, and so down to earth. And and I just have really liked their music. So if I had to give you two albums to listen to, I would start with Fearless Undead Machines, and then their most recent one, Children of the Morgue, which we did a live reaction to. And that is a phenomenal record.
Rock
I
and
think they're
roll.
probably the best they've ever done. The
Okay.
band sounds really good. Yeah. So there's
Well, I
my.
have to wear protection when I'm listening to these bands, y'all.
Well, it depends on what you mean by protection, but I go into it, have a,
I
I would say get
haven't
into a
worn a
nice
cup since high school.
yeah, it might make you feel like a gut punch, sure, why not?
On.
Yeah, put a pillow down there, get your nice get some nice indica, and worst case scenario you can use like a thigh master. You just work those thighs.
Just work those thighs.
That's right. All
All
right,
right.
well, Chop, what's your next on your list, buddy?
Oh, next band on my list is a little band called Exodus.
Exodus.
I think I'm a big fan of
I
Exodus.
thought you might put
Awesome.
them on the list.
Yeah, did you?
Yes,
Yeah,
I did.
they got one of the most brilliant guitar players. I mean, as far as riff masters, and that's Gary Holt. He is
Yeah.
just a beast. He's a beast on leads. He's a beast on his riff
Yeah.
writing, his capability. It's just, he's phenomenal.
And Holt's played with Slayer, the touring version of Slayer, the last, and he was on their last album last month
Right.
since
Right.
Jeff Hanneman died. So, yeah,
Yeah.
he's a phenomenal guitarist.
I think what hindered this band a little bit is because now they went back to their second or third vocalist for a second time, Rob Dukes, because they got rid of Steve Zetro-Sousa, who I'm more of a fan of Zetro in Exodus than just think like I don't know oh what's his name AC/DC singer Bon Scott,
Bon Scott.
except singing metal songs. That's what Zetro kind of sounded like. But they play a lot of festivals, they have a lot of fans worldwide, but it's not, they deserve to be maybe in. I always thought like you got the big four of thrash, right? Why not the big eight of thrash? Why don't you, there's like four bands I could at least include on that: Testament, Exodus, Overkill, and probably Death Angel. So I always thought they should deserve to be up, regarded into that tier of the other bands, the big four. But albums I would say to really look at, Persona Non Grata was their last release. They just released a new one, what's the name of it? A Goliath, which I don't know, it's kind of divisive. What I've heard of the singles, I've been like, eh, it's not one of my favorites, but each their own. And Fabulous Disaster is another one, classic from the Zetro lineup. But yeah, Exodus, just Gary Holt's just a beast. And I think a lot of lineup changes and shifts like that has kind of hindered them a bit. Some of their other 80s are Yeah, other 80s albums into the 90s. I think some production woes kind of hindered them a bit as well, because they were on Capitol Records for quite a while and other stuff, and Combat. I think they started on Combat, but yeah, Exodus.
Okay. All right, Dr. Helvering.
Well, let me give y'all one that, as metal fans, might be a little more down the middle of your street. This is a metal prog band from France called Altesia. Altesia. One of my patrons a couple years ago turned me on to them. He was a fan of theirs. They're just a starting band. And he had found them online, liked their stuff, and had became a fan. He just happened to be a member of our community, and he's like, "I can hook up a an interview if you want." I'm like, "Okay." And so I get this entire band with me on Zoom from France, and they were just fun people to get to know, and I thought their music was really cool. We've listened to their music a couple times on the channel. Do you know Haken? At
I've heard
all,
of Haken. Yeah.
I know the name, but I've not heard their music.
it's going to be a little more progressive in their riffs, but heavy and genty
Okay.
and really aggressive in the arrangement of the tunes. I think that it
Okay.
appeals to a metal fan, but it's got that some of those really great melodic lines
Kind of like the way
that.
Ginger kind of straddles that from time to
I
time.
think Ginger is a nice comparison.
Yeah, okay.
Similar sounds,
Yeah,
but I
interesting.
really like the guy Clement from Altesia is a lovely guy that I've gotten to know, and Last I heard, they were working on new stuff. So,
oh, that's exciting. Just,
you know, it's difficult. It's always been difficult for new bands or for people, you know, that don't really have connections to get known. Mm-hmm. And the avenues to just jump on and work the conveyor belt up don't quite work the way they did a generation ago anymore.
You know? Well, the band on the counter, though, the bands also have a lot more ways of getting their music out than they did a decade ago.
Yeah.
You know, Bandcamp and YouTube and streaming platforms. And so that's a wonderful place to discover bands.
Yeah.
And so,
and it's become increasingly inexpensive to produce yourself
mm-hmm.
and have it sound pretty darn decent.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Some of the bands I'll be talking about produced albums that you would be hard pressed to think that it wasn't done in a $1 million studio, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Excellent. All right. My next band is, I know it was Dreadful's, of all the bands we interviewed and we got to know when Dreadbull was on, this was his favorite band. And we still have the good friends in the band, Justin Biggs and Christian Nyman, Sorcerer from Sweden. It's a doom, definitely epic a doom metal band, epic doom metal. Soaring vocals. Anders' vocals is just amazing, full of like ache and emotion. They have concept albums that are really wonderful, and their last two albums have been stellar. Lamenting of the Innocent, which is a concept album about witches and things like that and witch burning, and then Reign of the Reaper, which, while not really a concept album, still deals with issues of death and loss and grief and things like that. So much emotion, really wonderful, really passionate guitar solos.
I
cannot recommend them too highly. They're just a stellar band, and they have a new album in the works, and we're really excited about that. So Sorcerer.
Cool.
All right, Chop, Sorcerer. Next on your list.
Yeah, my next pick is a dark progressive metal band from Sweden. It's called Evergrey is a I've seen them open, I believe, for Dio one time in the flats at a club. And that was my first introduction to them. But it's like Thomas England, frontman and guitar player of the band, has such an amazing voice. You talk about Anders from Sorcerer having ache in his voice and stuff. Mm. Same thing with Thomas England. He is just tremendous. The musicianship is top notch all across the board. Every instrument, every player. They do festivals and stuff like that too. I don't think they rarely tour the States, probably affordability. They can do that a lot. Mm-hmm. I was fortunate enough to be introduced and see them, you know, open for Ronnie James. But yeah, just a fantastic, a lot of concept albums, I believe, and a lot of just achy, mournful, mixed with, like, the ballads are so just tears your heart out. Lots of piano work as well, very nice. And just, I can't recommend them enough. I believe they deserve a lot more respect to be up there on the list. So Evergrey. Right.
Excellent.
And I would recommend, I'm trying to think which album. I don't have any physical copies right now. I can't remember. I'm sorry, but just look him up, Evergrey from Sweden, and take a stab at anything. I don't think you'll be disappointed in most stuff.
What we should do is, what I should do is, when this episode comes out, just tag every band that we've mentioned in our in the tag. Sure. Why not?
Yeah,
maybe they'll all want to come on.
Right. Like, what do you mean people don't know us?
That's exactly. Who the hell? Yeah, maybe.
Backhanded compliment. No, but it goes without saying, you know, we love the sounds of the groups that we've heard, and we think more people need to hear those sounds and like them just like
precisely.
We do.
That's
why we're doing this.
Yes, and I think it's why people like to watch your reactions, because they get to see you discover what they love so much about that song.
Yeah.
And to see, like, this moments of discovery. That's what I love. Like, I'm like, oh my God, that was amazing. And they want to hear it again, you know? And like, yes.
Yeah.
It's like vindication of like your most primal love. It's like, yes, you see the same thing. Yeah. It's nice.
Cool. It is. And it connects us, you know, it validates your own experiences.
Sure.
It helps, build that connection.
Definitely.
Let's see. You know, a band that I was introduced to really early on the Daily Doug that I've listened to in my own time. I have a couple of their albums, but I don't really, I haven't put them on the channel as much. Pain of Salvation, y'all.
I've heard of them.
Pain of Salvation.
Holy crap. Yeah.
I know the name, but I've not heard them.
Yeah,
I've heard
some of
the guys, Daniel Gildenlow is the creative force behind it. And he's, think of metal with unbelievable vocal, like a vocal ability. It's not like in the, you know, in the battle type of a metal vocal. It's more theatrical.
Like Jeff Tate kind of,
yeah,
kind of thing?
Yeah.
Okay. A little bit of operatic.
But with a really great storytelling angle and a great edge to it, they're really, really wonderful. I had gone on one of the early interviews that I did as the Daily Doug. They're like, "You got to hear this," and it was Pain of Salvation. They love Pain, and then we've got a couple of our patrons that are super fans, and they've sent me a few of their records, and they're wonderful. Anything by them, I think y'all would enjoy. Yeah,
that's great. Well, my next one is from one of our guests. His name is Matt Thompson. His day job is playing drums for King Diamond, but he also plays drums with a lot of other bands, and this is one of the bands that he plays with. And I know I had mentioned this band to you before, Doug, Shaolin Death Squad.
Yes.
It's progressive and experimental, melodic. You got like thrash as well as like these delicious harmonies and really weird time changes and changes within a song. It's very frantic at times and also very beautiful. And when they play live, they don't play outside of where they live in Texas. They don't go on tour or anything like that. But they all wear like these crazy Shaolin like costumes, like they were in a like a martial arts movie, you know, like the Shaw Brothers. And so they look like they're all playing in these costumes. So, yeah, but they're just, I know you would love them, Doug. And I would go with, the two albums I would go with are Intelligent Design, which is the one I would start you with. And okay. You play that first track, A Terrible Way to Use a Sword. And I think that will give you enough of an idea of this band that you're going to want to say, oh, I want to hear more.
Okay.
And then Five Deadly Venoms, which is also really, really good. Yeah. So, yeah, Shaolin Death Squad. Okay, Chop, thank you. What's next on your list?
Next on my list is good old Motorhead. I just think, what a fun band. Let's state that off first off. But I mean, their tunes are so catchy. They were pioneers, I think, of a speed metal or even thrash. You know, and they have a little bit of punk edge also into them. Lemmy, just one of the most iconic frontmen, and talk about a unique voice, but yes. It fits the dirtiness, the sleaziness, the griminess of Motorhead's music. That's part of the appeal. But I mean, I've loved this band for ever and a day. And if albums I tell people to start out with, Ace of Spades, Overkill, Ace 1916. Spades. I'm So Bad, Baby, I Don't Care. Just has one of the greatest lines.
Yeah, I make love to mountain lions. I'm like, okay, I'm that's it. You don't need to write anything more. That's it.
I've read about Lemmy makes me wish that I would have had the chance to have about 13 beers with him.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Right. Yes. Right on. And he would have liked to have that. Yes.
Yep.
I didn't have 13 beers, but I'll share those. But I have had my Lemmy moment, as I was shared before, and with Mark Bridie. Chop and I were at the Monsters of Rock.
It was Ozfest.
That's right, Ozfest. Yep. And Motorhead was playing on the small stage. Mm. A travesty. Yeah. And so they were about three couple songs into their set, and between songs, it was really quiet. Like no one was doing anything. And I yell out, "I love you, Lemmy." And without dropping a beat, he goes, "I love you too." And I go, "There, I've got my moment. Lemmy loves me. This I know." For the Kill Mister told me so. So
let it be written, so let it be done.
That's right, exactly.
Love you too, mate.
That's it.
That's like, cool.
Yes, sweet. Somewhere. All right.
That's cool.
Okay.
Is it my turn again?
Yes, it is.
Wow. Well, I mean, I always end up, I mean, this was just an addition to my list earlier today. We were doing what we call a Doug on Demand, where we're just, it's just a Zoom session where people are playing music. One of the songs I heard today was from a German power metal band called Primal Fear.
Oh, yes, we know Primal Fear.
You know Primal Fear.
Yes, we had the singer on. Yes.
Yeah. So was it Ralph Sheepers?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, so yes. Dreadbull insulted him. Thank you, Dreadbull, because that's why he won't come back to the show anymore. I invited him back on, but he wouldn't.
I will not insult. I was very impressed. We heard, what did he play? What they played the 10-minute track, the We Walk Without Fear, the album Rule Breaker. It was just really.
Yeah.
I mean, it had a dual lead. A guitar that reminded me a little bit of Iron Maiden, but it had the production of like a really slick rock album, you know?
Yeah.
It just had a really great sound to it, and Ralph's vocals were great. They said, was he the one that had also been with Halloween?
No, he was with Gamma Ray.
Gamma Ray. Yeah,
I was thinking
very similar in style. That power metal, that European power metal. Very, you know, Gamma Ray and Halloween have some crossovers in some ways. Yeah,
yeah. But I just heard them earlier today. I'm like, why? I mean, I'm more than 1,000 episodes into the Daily Doug, and I do a Metal Monday every week, and it's a band that not only have I not done on the channel, I didn't even know them yet.
It's exciting, it right?
Yeah,
because now you're like, oh my God, I got all this music I got to give it a try.
Yeah, but see, but it's also, it's y'all are giving me homework.
That's right. Even more stuff. I know it's never ending, Doug. We're going to keep you in business. You're welcome.
Well, I'm a huge fan. I got their discography, and I'll tell you, Doug, you can't go wrong. They're very consistent. They're like another Overkill.
Yeah.
Everything's consistent.
Sure. And it was Dreadbull who made the comparison to another singer. That was the problem. Yeah. You know? And he said, oh, you know, you kind of sound like Rob Halford. I'm like, oh. And I'm like, God damn it, Dreadbull. Yeah. Why'd you do that? But
because the history there is that Ralph auditioned when Halford was out of Priest, and he didn't get the gig. They give it to Ripper Owens, and he does not like to talk about it, interviews, and it's like, Dreadbull. Yeah.
I know. It's like he was like one of our first interviews, so I think he was just
Ixnay super on the Udis East Prey.
Exactly. Okay. Right. Yes, right. My next band is I'm wearing the hat. It's one of our good friends who also used to be on the show, Vic Wildcard Vindicator. We have really traditional thrash in the vein of Megadeth. With super catchy riffs, you know, great, great memorable licks. And that's what's really like Megadeth, you know the song because the riff is so good. You know, Vindicator has that very similar kind of style. Their last album, Whispers of Death, I think is their best work they've ever done. It's because it's not just channeling Megadeth. You're not just hearing that thrash. Mm. It's like they really become a band on their own and the right group of people playing the right things. You know, with a new drummer coming in who also plays with another band that Wildcard's in, called Volcana, but just a phenomenal band. And Vindicator has toured with other bands that have gone on to more success. And that's one thing that's always broke my heart is like all these other bands have kind of really gone up the chain and Vindicator hasn't. I'm like, why not? And that's got to be a punch to his gut. Like, you know, I just think they're a great band. And if you're going to listen to it, Whispers of Death and or Antique Witcheries, both phenomenal
very good
albums. Cool. All right. Well, Chop, I know you have to get going soon. So you want to do one more?
Maybe I'll just go down the rest of my list and say. Just
oh, yeah, that would be fine. Yes. Okay. Yeah, that's right.
I only got five more. So here with me.
Yeah, no problem.
Next on my list would be Death Angel from San Francisco based thrash band. I just think Mark Esegueda, the vocalist, is phenomenal. You know, just a, he's got a killer range and so much power in his voice too. That yeah, and they're very unique kind of thrash. I'd say very unique sounding. Like Act Three, I would recommend that album in its entirety, is a classic. They're actually touring right now, supporting that album, playing the whole thing full. And then their last one, I think, Humanicide, which actually won a Grammy for the metal, best metal, in that year. So, but yeah, Death Angel. Number four would be Annihilator, from Canada. Jeff Waters is a brilliant musician as far as guitar and composing and stuff. I hear rumor that they don't tour the States because he doesn't want to tour, or he doesn't want to tour USA. So it's kind of just Canadian or European. And that's a shame.
Yeah.
I think what hurt this band, though, is they've had too many lineup changes. And their sound kind of changes from time to time. It doesn't remain the same.
Yeah, not everything is Alice in Hell. Not everything is that, you know, like that.
And that's the classic, Alice in Hell and Never Neverland. The two albums that I think any metalhead should
really
have.
Those are phenomenal albums. Those are phenomenal. Yeah. And if similar power metal vein as what you had heard of, like Halloween and those kinds of bands, very, really, really wonderful. Yeah, very melodic.
Number three, I had Sabotage. I think that I've adored Sabotage ever since Hall of the Mountain King.
Sure.
That's one of the albums I would recommend. And then as a few, one down the road and they got more progressive would definitely be Wake of Magellan. I think it's just brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
Are they the ones that have done like military themed historical tunes? Or are you thinking of a different
Wake band? Of Magellan?
Thinking, Sabaton, you're thinking. Yeah. This is Sabotage. That's
the one. Sabotage is the same musicians who went to form
TSO.
Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
That's the one. That's those guys. Okay.
So Dead Winter Dead,
Edge of Thorns.
Edge of Thorns. Dead Winter Dead is about Sarajevo. Gutter Ballet. Really, really good stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. And now next on my list will be Symphony X from Jersey.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Underrated progressive metal band.
Yeah.
Russell Allen, such a powerful vocalist and presence. I got to see them on Gigantor with Megadeth years ago. And I was just blown away, especially by Michael Romeo was playing.
Yeah,
he put out two solo albums, War of the Worlds Part 1 and 2, and are both brilliant. They just deserve a hell of a lot more. But you can't go wrong with, like, pretty much throw a dart at any of their catalog. But the Odyssey is where I got involved in with them. And I actually got a signed copy of that from the guys at Gigantor, so that was really special to me. But it's fantastic. Fantastic progressive metal. And my number one, last one, Faith's Warning out of Connecticut. My gosh. We're talking about a band they've been on a huge hiatus. I don't even know if they're defunct now or anything. It's been quite a minute. It's like 2021 since they last released their last album.
Yeah.
But when Ray Alder took over, they started out sounding like a very Iron Maiden-y kind of band. Mm. But the vocalist Ray Alder took over at No Exit, and their sound changed a lot more progressive.
From Parallels. Yeah.
Oh, anything. So it breaks my heart because I've seen this band multiple times and I'm a huge fan. Yeah. And I got most of it. It's like,
we saw them with Queensryche.
What are people missing here? It's just unbelievable.
That was an amazing show, Doug. You're like, it was Prague heaven. It was Fate's Warning, Dream Theater, and Queensryche.
Yeah.
And then they played the encore, all the bands together.
Yeah.
Which was amazing.
Queensryche is another. You know, I mean, they're a great prog band. Mm-hmm. You know, prog's another space kind of like metal that you've got kind of your upper echelon of what everybody kind of goes to. And we've got a whole bunch of great talent that's just itching for somebody to look in the bag and take a shot, you know?
Right on, right on.
Yeah.
But gentlemen, that's my list. And I'm sorry I have to depart. Nice to see you again, Doug. Thanks for being on the show and everything. And
good to see you, man.
Look forward for you to be on future shows. So
you got it.
All right.
I'll send you my list on the comms channel. The next five I've got.
Okay. So. All right, guys.
Take care, buddy.
Take care. Yep.
All right. Okay, Doug. What is your next one on your list?
You know, the only one I really had left was one that we just mentioned a little bit ago, was Haken.
Okay.
It's spelled Haken.
Okay.
It's Haken like bacon.
Let me see if I've got them.
They are from Britain, and you know, the future is a little unclear. They've had some personnel changes this year, but I've seen them three times now, and always put on a really great show. I've interviewed the lead singer Ross and their guitarist, and they've got some really lovely albums. I would say prog metal, genty but melodic.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like that. I'll give them a try.
Yeah.
I love prog. I love music that surprises me. And while I mean, I have no problem with AC/DC. I mean, their songs are catchy and they're repetitive, and you hear three AC/DC songs, you've heard the catalog, you know, but I like music. When I listen to Opeth, it still surprises me. You know, I listen to songs like Harlequin Forest, and I'm just, I can just write in there, you know, and so anything that can help seem fresh after listening to something 100 times, I'm all for it. Yeah. All right.
From Haken, the more recent album is Fauna.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little heavier. The more, the farther you go back, the less heavy they are.
Okay.
In my experience.
Interesting.
But The Mountain is one of their early albums, and it's wonderful, and they've got a really quirky, fun tune called Cockroach King.
Nice. All right. Excellent. I love that.
I think you that I did a reaction to. I think you'd enjoy.
Okay, I'll look for it. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay, my next group is a local band. They are called Among These Ashes, and it's really melodic thrash. And they might remind you. Are you familiar with Iced Earth?
Yes.
Yes. You might liken them to Iced Earth in some ways. They have a lot of really catchy riffs, very fast, like thrash and melodic. And then something you may not like, it's a lot of machine gun like double bass.
Sure.
But it's not just playing a constant beat like an Angel of Death. It's like they do a lot of the staccato and the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you know, and like different kind of time signatures that punctuate the rhythms.
That I don't mind.
Yeah. And that is like, oh, okay. But these guys are local.
Not that my opinion matters, but yeah, that I don't mind.
Yeah, yeah, I think you would like them. The two albums that I think you would really get into are their last two, Dominion Enthroned and then Embers of Elysium. Really phenomenal thrash. And those guys, you know, they're like local in the tri-state area. And I don't know why, what it is that's not happening for them, because they have the sauce. They got it. They got the goods, you know? So Among These Ashes.
Cool.
All right. You said that was the end of the
list? Yeah, that was basically it. I mean, the only other thing I was thinking about, when you think of like a good and low respect, you know,
right.
I kept thinking of musicians that are already extremely respected that I think they should be even more respected. It was the same take that Chop had earlier. For example, you know, if you strip away all of the disco stuff, those songs that the Gibb brothers wrote for the Bee Gees are phenomenal songs.
Yeah.
Great changes, melodies, all that sort of stuff.
They didn't even want to do the disco. That wasn't what their nature was. Like, you know, if you heard the albums before those.
Yeah. But, and I've always just heard the brightness of ABBA albums and been turned off by it. But Megan grew up loving them. My wife, Megan, and we've got other people in our community that are like, come on now. It's like pop prog. Listen to this one, you know, and they changed my mind. I'm like, I can't deny the songwriting talent.
Right. Very catchy. And it was their version of America's Got Talent. It was like Eurovision. That's how they got discovered. And like, well, what a great platform.
Yeah.
No, we grew up in the era where the hits were around, Take a Chance on Me and Voulez-Vous and, you know, some of those songs. And, I never got really past that SOS. I know the songs, but I just find it wonderful that they had that success that they did. It's not my bag, but like, hey, you apparently are hitting the zeitgeist, and good for you. Not everyone does that, you know?
Yeah.
Excellent.
If there's anything I've learned as doing the Daily Dug, is that there is, for some people, it's exciting to seek out new sounds, new bands. And for other people, it is terrifying because they're like, I know what I like. I don't want to buy something that I'm going to not like, or I'm not sure how I'll be thought of, or whatever, you know. But the social aspect that we foster, especially on our Patreon and on our Discord, where we're sharing back and forth all the time, all those barriers just break down, you know. And people share the oddest stuff, like, take a look at this, you know. We're like, okay, go, you know. You know, the weirdest cosplay, electric lute, I don't, you know, with neon colors. I have no idea, you know, you do, y'all do y'all. You got a lane. Make your art.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. There's room at the top yourself. For everybody, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, fly that flag and see who salutes it. You know? Yeah, no, I get it. That's lovely. I do have a few other bands that I wanted to give a shout out to.
Yeah, sure.
While we're here. So the next one is actually the band I've mentioned before, Mark Bridey, a band called Jagdpanzer. They are probably the best American new wave of British heavy metal sounding band.
Okay.
They will remind you quite a bit of Iron Maiden in some regards, but they have a phenomenal singer who can, you know, has a classically trained singer who has a wonderful range. And they do write songs. They have a concept album, you know, that's based on in Shakespeare, and they have songs. Mechanized Warfare is a great album, and their last album called The Hallowed is a concept album, and it's like a post-apocalyptic concept album.
Cool.
And just phenomenal stuff. And the guys are so nice. We had the band on. It was their first ever complete band meeting. Like, they've been around since the 80s, and this was the first time they'd all been interviewed at the same time. So I thought that was like our 100th episode or something. I'm like, you know, that's great. We got the first dibs on an entire band interview.
Cool.
But yeah, I think you might really like the Hallowed. Just because of this really interesting things they do musically, to kind of create a sense of like a movie, in a way, and tell the story through music as well as lyrics. So it's kind of cool. Another one, I know this is a band I have mentioned to you before, Sermon. With especially the album of Golden Verse. I don't know if you got a chance to listen to that at all.
I don't think that I ever did.
Okay.
Say it again.
Of OF. Golden Verse, VERSE. It's just one guy, him is his name, and he basically, you know, he has a friend who plays drums and he does all the instrumentation and stuff. It's really haunting and melodic with like soaring vocals that, you know, convey ache and really kind of dreamlike qualities. There's a lot of really tribal percussive rhythms that kind of carry and push the song more than guitars. And as a drummer, I'm like, oh, that's really nice, because I like hearing the percussion really stand out prominently in the mix. I just think it's an album that is so good and so interesting and takes you on a journey of the different sounds that, yeah, I cannot recommend that high enough. So
cool.
Sermon. One is another local band that we've had on, a band called Finality. They are super technical metal.
Cool.
Speed, precision, a feel like every second. I mean, there are songs where, like, you know, it's getting down to like the final like 15 seconds. I'm like, oh, they're getting ready to wind down. And they'll put like in a 10 second solo, you know, in that last bit, like, nope, we got 15 seconds. We're going to fill it. And it's not just like garbage. It was phenomenal. Again, if you want to hear something that's really going to push those buttons for you, if you want technical and speed and metal, their album Technocracy is superb. And super nice guys. Yeah. They loved the review that we did for them. And they sent us all kinds of really cool stuff and shirts and CDs. And we appreciate that. It's not why I'm doing it. We really genuinely love the album and did a whole review of it online. So
wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like it.
Another band, again, I'm grateful because some of these bands Well, most of everyone that I've been mentioning, the last five, are because of this show. And that's why I'm so grateful to, like, our, I won't say sponsors because they're not technically sponsors, but they do provide music for us. Our you know, Metal Blade Records and Clawhammer gives us music, and Soda Records. And so
that's cool.
We just get inundated with music. Yeah. And so we started doing these first track frenzies. Well, let's get some of this music out. And that's how we discovered, like, oh my God, this band's really good. And then listening to the rest of the album. So I'm grateful for all that. But the next band, we've had them on as well. They're from England, a band called Prometheum. And they write these really amazing, catchy riffs that stick in your ear like earworms, you know? And it's like, it's because it's so riff heavy that you kind of like it, because it sounds like something you might have heard, like an earlier version of hard rock. And they're like, they're in their groove, they're in their pocket, they get this catchy riff, you know, verse chorus bridge chorus, like in and out.
Yeah.
But it's like so catchy and infectious. Yeah. You love to hear it. And the album I would recommend is Bleeding the Ghost. And they have a new album in the works right now, and they've been on the show a few times, and they're going to come on again with that. We're going to do them with a live album as well, or a live reaction to their album. But yeah, Prometheum, and they're just such nice guys, just fun, you know. And I like the fact that, you know, we still have relationships with these guys, and we just chat every once in a while. Hey man, what's going on? Oh good, you know. So like, they're wanting to share music with me. It was like, oh no, we're gonna save it, you're gonna do a reaction, I don't want to spoil it for you. I'm like, well, that's awesome, thank you. And just two more I want to mention. One is a band called Tarot, as in like tarot cards.
Okay.
They are kind of a progressive Opeth like band in some ways.
I've heard of them.
Yeah. And it's kind of mixed with melodic, like Deep Purple and Rainbow vibes.
Yeah, actually, you know? I think I've heard a few of their tracks that someone in our community have shared.
Yeah, keyboard
lovely
heavy
stuff.
Really, yeah, you get that progressive, like the Deep Purple vibe. You get that kind of, and then you get the progressive stuff, like the Opeth. And I'm like, wow, this is a really, really, and you could hear the lyrics nicely, and it was like, wow, it sounded something you might have heard like from the 70s. Like they said, the Deep Purple, there was a vibe there that sounded kind of old, but felt very fresh, you know. Sure.
Yeah.
And the album is called, I would recommend, it's called Glimpse of the Dawn.
Glimpse of the Dawn.
And the last band I would like to mention is in a band called Witch Hazel with a Y. W-Y-T-C-H Hazel. They were one of the ones we did in a first track frenzy that really surprised both of us. Again, we don't listen to any of this stuff. We have no idea what's coming our way.
Right.
And this is really like pop friendly, kind of groovy, kind of very catchy, but with some like Iron Maiden vibes, with like the twin guitars and the galloping rhythms, but it's more pop friendly. And like the lyrics are a little, like the vocals are a little like friendlier. They're not like aggressive and in your face, but like you take like really good musicianship and like hard rock or, you know, metal melodies, but make them kind of poppy and groovy. And I'm like, oh, well, this is really interesting stuff. So yeah, Witch Hazel. And the two albums I recommend is album 4, it's like IV, Sacrament, and 5, or V, is called Lamentation.
Lamentation.
Yeah, and both of those are really, really good.
Right on.
As well. But
yeah, if the songs are good, it's just down to the arrangement and the performance. Because you can make most songs into, you know, whatever type of, is it going to have a pop sensibility to it? Is it going to have a rock sensibility or a metal or even heavier or something else, you know, with the way that you finish it, arrange it and put it all together. Yeah. And that's, you know, when people ask me, well, how can all of this music come from just the same, you know, and this tuning system, 12 equal tuned notes, is like, because it's human choice behind it, and everybody performs them and puts them together in a slightly different way, with a slightly different way that their hands interface with the instruments and the way their voice sounds and everything else. So As long as a whole bunch of different people are making music, then we got a whole bunch of different lovely music to listen to.
That's it. And yeah, people's creativity comes up. And I like, it doesn't bother me when I hear influences in a band.
No.
You know, because we all take from one another, right?
Sure.
I mean, you get into music because you like something. And usually when you first begin playing, you start off by imitating others, by being like in a cover band or learning those songs. You know, like when you first began writing music, you were probably inspired by one of your favorite composers and say, what would this composer do? And how could I approach doing something like this composer? Am I right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it's not like we're trying to be them, but this is your inspiration and you want to kind of see if you can do it.
Actually, throughout history, before we had copiers, you know, and Xerox machines and all of that sort of stuff, one of the main ways that we have copies and references for a lot of this repertoire through the years isn't because it was in, you know, Mozart's library. It's because some other student in town had copied his score. Right? That's how that they would learn. There was no university, and, you know, so they would learn by copying scores to see how they notated stuff and how they put their sounds together. So we would have copies of Mozart music across town because it was in the hand of a student. We just know it differently because it was in a student's hand versus Mozart's hand. But vice versa. So learning directly interfacing with the art that has come before us informs us. And then, the way that I often describe either composing or songwriting is just you answering a whole bunch of your own questions. What do I want this to sound like? I want it to sound like horror, just angst and stuff. All right, I'm probably not going to write a song that sounds like a Beach Boys tune, you know? So I'm going to stay away from those types of rhythms and those types of triads. I'm going to write more angular stuff. I'm going to see if I can offset the dissonance. I'm going to, you know, make this decision with rhythm and then, and so on and so forth, right? A thousand questions asked and answered, and you get a piece. So people ask, how does that work? You just ask a question.
Yeah. I like that.
And then answer it. Ask a question and answer it. It makes, it helps you get around writer's block.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. And I like seeing that insight into your creative process as well.
Yeah.
And how you approach it. I mean, because everyone's a little different.
It takes away self-judgment. You know, it's just, hey, this, yes or no? Yes, I'll try this chord. And then it's okay to erase it and try again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but for me, that's always kind of the breakdown. It might be 10,000 questions. You just answer one at a time and just be patient.
Yeah, you'll get your patience. Work your way through it. Yeah.
Patience, you know, and that's,
like that.
That's the idea. Yeah,
no, I like that. Yeah, everyone's creative process is very different. Like when I was back in some of the bands I was in college, I did a lot of songwriting, and I was in this zone where I was writing all the time. So it was just, they were just coming out, and usually a song was in my head, and I heard it as I finished writing it. I knew what it was going to be. I knew the chords. I knew everything, what it was going to sound like, and what I envisioned in my head. It was just like finding the chords to say, "Oh, this is the chord. This is the," you know, and then working it out.
I've been threatening to do a live stream where I write a song on the spot.
Oh, that would be awesome.
It's like, join us for this 4-hour odyssey. No, I try to, I don't know.
Do you sit, you compose at the piano, or do you?
I typically will sketch by hand.
Okay. So you can hear it as you write it?
Mostly.
Do you hum as you go or no?
Yeah, but I'll check voicings and stuff at the keyboard. I like to write at the piano.
Yeah.
But then when I'm going to then compose. Once I get kind of a set of notes that I like developing riffs, developing chord progressions is not something that I like to do directly in a DAW or in a notation software. I like to do that manually by hand. And then once I have those ideas kind of set in my mind, I can then go to my notation software if I'm going to turn it into a choir piece, or my DAW if I'm going to turn it into a rock demo or something like that. The application of how the song then gets treated is to me a different process than the actual thinking up this is how this rhythm's going to go, and this is how this hook is going to go, and that sort of thing. That's a very personal thing, and that's where everybody's really different.
Sure.
But the thing where that stuff is very difficult, if not impossible, to teach. But what we can teach as composition professors or people that specialize in the craft of it is help people navigate their own brain and their own interface with how they then realize those ideas and get them into end products that they're comfortable with and that they like.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that sometimes it takes a lot of work. For me, it took developing my ear.
Okay.
That's kind of where that ear came from, is I would dream up these ideas in my head. This is going to be a great sound. I go to write it down. I'm like, well, I know it went up. How far did it go up?
Yeah.
I don't know. It went kind of like that. Ooh, that's a nice sound. Maybe it'll do that. And then you write a completely different piece.
Right, right.
You know? And it pissed me off, quite frankly. You know, like, no, I want to write that. This is fine. But I wanted to write the other piece. So you end up trying to develop my ear as much as I can. As I'm hearing something, can I visualize what the sheet music looks like and vice versa?
Nice.
You see my eyes like dart up, I'm like visualizing like that's what the melody looks like.
Phenomenal.
I'm just kind of notating like, yeah. So it's kind of like visualizing a key signature. I'm like, they're there. And I turn around and kind of just go from there. And I normally key off the bass. If I get caught trying to follow the melody too much, I'll get caught on a different note in the scale, and then I don't know what key it necessarily is or what part of the scale to play. But if I can pick out that's the home note in the bass, then I can and just hear the types of chords they're playing around it and be able to go from there. The bass is the key.
That's great.
That's the one.
I love it. No, I just, you know, it set me on a flashback of like when I was first learning how to play guitar when I was in college. And so I had taken a guitar class and learned my basic chords. And then my friend had an Iron Maiden songbook with like their first like four albums up through Peace of Mind. And so that's what I started learning, like playing. Like I recognize, oh, this is an E chord, and this. And then some of these songs have like, you know, 16 or 20 chords. I'm like, oh my God, I don't even know some of these chords.
Was it in a tab or was it?
Tab. Like it was all tab. Yeah, okay. It was all tablature. And, but some of the songs that I learned how to play early on, like Prodigal Son, because it was a much more simpler song. Sure. But then like trying to play like things like Where Eagles Dare, I was just like, oh, because I hadn't learned bar chords yet, you know.
Yeah.
But that helped me then see being able to play it helped me learn how to become a better player because of, as you know, Maiden's pretty complex. And so me slapping around and like learning how to play these songs got me in as just becoming a better player, because now I'm trying to play the music I like, and it's a difficult and challenging, you know, song, and I think that's what helped me just become a little better at guitar. But Doug, I want to thank you for being on the show today. This has been so much fun, and especially getting some insights into these new bands that you know Chop and I had never heard of before. And we just always love having you on the show, so thank you.
It's my pleasure to be here, and y'all always give me great homework. I've got a lot of great metal bands to look into, and we'll keep doing our Daily Doug thing. We, on YouTube, do typically premieres on Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 4:30 in the afternoon Eastern time. We typically do metal-specific repertoire on Mondays because we need the extra jolt, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But we also have a Patreon and a vibrant community, and I'm really thankful to develop friendships like we have with y'all here, and to keep coming and talking about the art that we love. It's great.
Yeah, that's it. We feel the same. We're so appreciative. And as I was telling Mark Bridey, the first episode you were on where we interviewed you, that was our very first episode that we had over 1,000 views.
Cool.
So I was like, wow, I didn't think that was possible. Look at us getting 1,000 views.
Yeah.
So it's all your people. We're the thanks for doing that. Yeah, but
they are. It's a lovely community.
I love watching you.
Thank you.
I do. I enjoy that. There are some reaction artists or people doing reactions that I really enjoy because I like seeing them explore. And so, but hearing your take on it, it's helping me understand and appreciate music differently. And I always struggled with, even though I could like play chords and stuff, I never could do piano because I have a hard time reading two lines. And even though I'm a drummer and I can do syncopated stuff with my hands and feet, I could never do piano that way. So it's a whole different skill.
I mean, I have really great rhythm. But I've never been able to really be comfortable. I've tried a few times behind a trap set.
Mm-hmm.
My feet don't work very well, but man, my hands do.
Okay.
So I just became a rhythm player
in
that part of the rhythm section.
Sure. Do you ever play guitar? Have you learned guitar as well?
Me and guitar still do not get along.
Okay.
I'm trying, but
sure.
It just, I know how the stringed instruments, you know, where the notes aren't just left low, right high, you know, it's a whole different.
Yes.
I have to rewire my brain a bit.
Yes.
And
every string is set up differently. You go up 5 frets, then 4 frets. And, you know, as far as like, okay, where does this one in? That's where I get lost because I don't know the notes, what I'm playing. Like, where am I at? I can only do one scale. I never learned that stuff. So it really prevented me from doing anything more than being a rhythm player. Yeah.
I'm eager to keep giving it a shot because it's good for my brain, but it's a challenge. It really is.
You maybe consider playing bass since you begin composing with bass. Maybe a bass might be the way to go where you can begin playing with just melody without having to worry about learning crazy chords and things
all
like
I
that.
All I need is an E string.
That's it. Right? That's right. Yeah, sure. One E string. That's all you need, man. You can get most of the notes that way.
There you go.
That's
fun.
All right. And we can find you on YouTube. What's the name of your channel again?
Just Google or YouTube, The Daily Doug.
The Daily Doug.
And you'll get me.
Excellent. Hey, you can find Heavy Metal on unsaneradio.com. Listen to full episodes or download to your device. You can find us on Facebook, Heavy Metal Horror Podcast. On Instagram, look for Montag Lewis, one word. Our YouTube page, Heavy Metal Horror Podcast. If you're watching, that's where you're at. Don't forget to hit the like and subscribe button. And if you know someone who would like our show, tell about us. This has been Montag, Master of Illusion, and special co-host,
Dr. Demento, otherwise known as the Daily Doug.
And you are watching and listening to, all right, Doug, bring up the horns. Heavy metal horror.
This is Doug Helvering, and you have been listening to Heavy Metal Horror, the best podcast that you've never heard before.